And what is the meaning of suffering? What does this mean? Pleasant or unpleasant, or understanding or not understanding? What is suffering? If we cannot find it, how can we have understanding of it? And if we don't know what suffering is, can we understand it? Is it feeling, or it's only the impermanency of whatever arises? And the meaning of suffering in that sense is that shouldn't be taken for being object of pleasure, because it cannot last, it just appears and disappears.
It seems sometimes to me like if someone was to explain to me,
mm-hmm.
or maybe put it the other way around, if I was to explain to somebody who has no concept of Dharma or anatta, or
mm-hmm.
if I was to
yeah.
explain to them, look, the bottom line is that you don't exist in the way you think you do, therefore there's no basis for suffering, blah, 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 and explain it to them in an intellectual way, they would probably look at me and say, good, fine, however, that doesn't change anything.
Can there be clear understanding of suffering if it's real? Whatever is real can be understood better and better, like seeing, not permanent, it's conditioned. It doesn't belong to anyone to see whether it's right. Not delusion, because it now sees, it's conditioned. It sees and then it falls away, no more seeing. This is the truth of seeing. So when one thinks about suffering, what is the truth of it? What is it that one can understand it better and better? Otherwise, it's so vague, and we don't know where to find it, to understand it, to understand it.
It's not so much the understanding of suffering, but the understanding of why we experience suffering.
We should be understood too.
Mm.
So that are we, and there are sufferings, there are many things. What are they in reality? Absolute reality means that it cannot be changed, because it's like that. The truth of it is no one can change its characteristic. For example, pleasant feeling is just in a moment. It cannot be unpleasant feeling. And when unpleasant arises, it cannot be changed right then to be pleasant. It has its own characteristic. No one can change its characteristic at all. As fire is hot, no one can change it to hardness or softness. So when we talk about anything, it has its own characteristic, its own truth that can be discerned and understood as it is, as a reality, not self. So when we talk about suffering, are we talking about self or something permanent or what? Suffering. Otherwise we cannot know more about it. And when there's no understanding, it's ignorance. Taking it for something, clear or not clear. But whatever appears, there can be more understanding about that. Like feeling is real. And there are three kinds of feeling, or five kinds of feeling. Bodily feeling is different from mental feeling. When the object is unpleasant, no one can have pleasant feeling at all. When the body is quite hard, it conditions the unpleasant feeling. Nobody can change. That's the way it is. That's why we understand the anatta-ness.
Any conditioned reality is suffering or dukkha. So even seeing, even pleasant feeling arises and falls away. So it's inherently unsatisfactory and not worth clinging on to. So it's also suffering. So suffering in the ultimate sense refers to the nature of each conditioned reality.
I think we completely agree that we definitely need the, I suppose the only difference is maybe the difference between how that understanding can be deepened.
And you said, for example, like in your quiet practice this morning, if you hadn't had the quiet practice, if you'd gone out drinking coffee and reading the newspaper, then there wouldn't be the same kind of wise reflection. But by understanding more about realities, we learn that actually there is no situation, there is no meditation practice, there is no drinking coffee, actually the moments of seeing and hearing and thinking wisely or unwisely. So there may be thinking wisely or unwisely in the quiet room, there may be thinking wisely, unwisely drinking coffee. So if there was some wise reflection, it's because there was the thinking wisely, not because of the situation.
And who avoids reading?
Who avoids reading?
Not knowing what it is, but actually it's a reality. Anytime, whatever appears is a reality. So we understand the meaning of not self, anatta-ness. It's conditioned and it cannot last, arises and falls away instantly, unknowingly. That's why the more we can understand it, the more one can see that it is not permanent. Less clinging to the idea of mind or I.
It's very much like in the Tibetan tradition, how in the Heart Sutra, form is emptiness, emptiness.
But anything which is only result or words, it's not like understanding at all. Even that is labeled as Tibetan or anything, when it talks about anatta-ness, there must be more understanding of whatever appears and understand what is meant by anatta-ness. Uncontrollable, it's conditioned, it arises and falls away. So don't worry about I, because there are different realities from birth to death.
Essentially we cannot think the way Panya can understand. It's just something that occurred yesterday when we're stressing how valuable intellectual understanding is as a condition for pain to arise, but not a substitute. Not a substitute, I think that's basically.
You want to be off record here?
But it has to be understanding, not just call it intellectual understanding without any understanding. Just read doesn't mean that there is understanding of what one is reading.
Reflecting on that, I thought, okay, whatever I understand doesn't come from my meditation practice. It comes from what I have heard from the Buddha, from through the books or from the teachers. And it was developed and it was helping me to live life in a better way more and more. But what comes from the experience of meditation was actually only clinging. Whatever the real benefits, little that I could have from all those years was actually the wisdom from the Buddha and not from my experience. And on the other hand, what I was having with the experiences with more clinging and more mana. I have experienced this, I have done this and that. And so I think at that time I didn't have a clear understanding of how wisdom is developed. But now listening to Achan, so I understand that even the intellectual understanding is also the panya, chittasika. And it must grow from that. You cannot jump from avijja to panya. So, because if you don't think about time and when I can directly experience, then that's fine, because it's the only way that panya can only come from the moment of understanding. And for me now, there's no coming back to the experiences of meditation anymore.
So, practices, vipassana practices, samatha.
I think that we better understand what are they first. Even the word vipassana or samatha, what are they? Otherwise, we'll be misled by just the word.
I mean specifically what's colloquially understood by vipassana practice.
But it has to be this moment to understand whether what samatha is or what vipassana is. For example, what is meant by samatha, it's not just the word, but it's the moment or a reality with right understanding which sees the danger of experiencing objects through eyes, ears, nose, tongue with ignorance and attachment in the day. By understanding this, one has right understanding how to have the kusala moment or calm away from those realities in the day. It has to be right understanding to know what moment is right, what moment is wholesome, and what moment is not wholesome. For at moment of not understanding, it cannot be wholesome. At moment of being attached, it's not wholesome. At moment of anger, it's not wholesome. So when is moment of no ignorance, no attachment, and no aversion? Panya has to be as great as that in order to develop kusala, wholesome moment, by conditions, by understanding at that level of seeing the danger of collecting or accumulating lots of ignorance and attachment all day from moment of seeing and hearing. And that is taught by the Blessed One. Otherwise, we cannot tell whether it's his teaching or it's someone's teaching. When it concerns with that which now appears and brings more understanding and detachment from clinging or self or gaining something, because that is the function of attachment, then only then is the teachings of the Buddha to know, to understand whatever appears in details. Like at moment of seeing, there's not just that which experiences the object. There are also other mental factors arising together. And later on, there are more and more mental factors arising by conditions too.
So to put it bluntly, are you saying that there's no place for conventional daily practice of meditation?
And daily understanding, not daily practice. Because I'm not clear what practice is. What does it know?
I mean, without going into specific practices.
Why? What for? No understanding? Or can it be understanding of this very moment? If it's not, then it's not what the Buddha taught.
And also, just very briefly, earlier you talked about how, when we were talking about feelings, about how everything, I think what you said was everything is experienced in the mind by an illusory self, to quote you. But actually we learn from the Buddha's teachings that at each moment there is a citta, a kind of nama citta, which it means a moment of experiencing. So this is a reality. Seeing is a reality, which a citta which experiences visible object. Hearing is a citta, a reality which experiences sound. When there's no seeing, no hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there's thinking. So what we call thinking are many different cittas which experience either realities or concepts, usually concepts. And each of these cittas is experienced by several mental factors, which Ajahn just mentioned, mental factors, citta seekers. So actually, there's never any real or illusory or any kind of self experiencing anything. It's just citta and citta seekers experiencing the object, and what the illusory self is just an idea that is thought about.
Does anyone just want to follow any way without understanding? Or better?
So I think if we use the word metta in terms of thinking and reflecting.
But no special place.
No special place.
No meditation center at all. No matter Anatta, Bindika or Visakha, they didn't have meditation center even there, so devout in the teachings.
So that, I mean, many people have the wrong understanding.
For sure. But this is the way the teachings will be declined.
Because meditation centers are growing and growing and growing.
Yes.
There's so much, wrong view. I mean, I stopped the day somebody told me I'd pass the course, reach the point where I would be only reborn 7 more times.
Who told you?
At a meditation center.
How can they know? But when you don't know yourself at all about your own understanding.
That's when I said, okay.
You know. Well, no wonder you stopped. You didn't need to keep going.
That's right. That's right. I've been sitting here. That was amazing. Yeah.
Thank you. Because the understanding can understand from hearing, considering wisely, whether it's the true worth, the vajja satya or not, which will lead to ariya satya and jnana satya. Panya, which understand reality right now.
Yeah. But if I had heard you, I'd heard you talk before, and if I hadn't heard you talk before, I don't know what I. Anyway,
no one knows,
I had conditions. There were conditions for me to say. Okay. I just thought, no, it's not true. I realized it.
Always
very.
Lopa is there all the time.
Yeah, you want it to be true, but then I realized I did things like. A, I didn't understand, and B, I find myself doing things like feeling envy or telling a little white lie or, no, those conditions are still there.
Yes. Many people go for
what about understanding, without understanding, who can be safe from ignorance, it's there, an attachment, it's another support to. That's why it said that all four noble truths are very subtle, not just the third or the first or the second, but also the fourth one. The path is very subtle too. To really understand lopa when it's there, otherwise it cannot go away because no one sees it that it's there. But panya can see,
Like how can I? You said you pointed out.
Yeah.
Loba already.
The same too. Very natural because it has arisen and passed away. Instantly as we are talking about, anyone is gone. even at moment of touching, that's gone. When panya is clear enough so it can see the arising and falling away. Of the nimitta, see? Even so, it's only of the nimitta because it's so fast. So just learn to become detached from ignorance and attachment.
And I think the point that you keep making about recognizing the danger of a kusala, it's the start of developing more kusala in a day.
Understanding too, because avoiding a kusala is developing understanding. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no way to have the self perform that function.
Right. And it's not the self that goes around avoiding kusala. It just naturally, when there's some understanding, of
less
the
and less attachment
danger.
To the idea of me, of self, or I can.
Yeah.
So panya come closer to see reality as it is. Otherwise it's hindered by attachment and the idea of self. So natural. So we don't mind going somewhere like safari or anywhere by conditions. Otherwise one cannot see the hidden kilesa. It's completely hidden by desire, wanting to, not knowing about that. Thinking is thinking, but what will happen, not according to think it, but according to conditions. So just pass on all the time, from moment to moment.
I found your point interesting about the panya not really. That it's not the thinking. Panya is something deeper than the thinking about. Thinking, maybe you can make it again.
This was panya of the intellectual.
Panya of the intellectual.
How we can never know what panya knows, but by way of thinking.
Because it follows so quickly, the seeing and the hearing, because it can be thinking not in word.
Right.
See? Thinking of shape and form and get the thing from that which is seen instantly. That's why when panya develops, it knows that when it, in satipatthana, it says that just follow whatever appears. The word follow is quite far from the moment when it's there, because it has to be like seeing and hearing. They seem to arise simultaneously, but actually it's different. So at moment of experiencing hardness, as usual, no understanding, no awareness, but whenever there is awareness, it appears more or better than usual, because usually touch and then something like shoes and spoon, but there it appears a characteristic to be known, little by little, until everything appear like that. Just its characteristic, which can appear with attachment. Otherwise, one cannot prevent the arising of attachment again and again. So panya see attachment again and again and again, so that it will have less and less attachment.
You say it appears more than usual.
Because, usually, do you know that there is touching and hardness here? Never know. But when it's there, with awareness, it's different. Because the characteristic of hardness begin to appear as hardness. But it depends on panya too, to understand and detach from wanting to experience and knowing more than that. Just little by little. To know that what are now are only different characteristics of realities when panya is there. Different characteristics. Better?
So you can hear. Okay. He just had a question when Beverly asked about, well, what about meditation in the charnel grounds or something? And Tony just said, well, what about in the Satipatthana Sutta, where it talks about long breath and short breath? And
does breath now appear? Really? Breath? Does it appear now? Does breath appear to anyone here?
No.
When you feel uneasy, unpleasant, use it.
Yeah. still
not. Sniff or anything, just thinking about it, yeah.
It's beautiful, thank you very much.
Is the pain real? Or imagined?
It's not as real as it was about 20 minutes ago.
Have less clinging. Mm. So reality can appear when time comes as it is. Mm. Because attachment is hindrance. It takes one away from understanding right now. Being attached to something else or somewhere or something which does not bring any understanding of reality right now. So it has to be now, anything which can condition understanding of whatever it is, like what is seeing. It's just that which sees, and what is seen is only that which can be seen. While noise, sound cannot be seen, hardness and softness cannot be seen, the experiencing cannot be seen, anger cannot be seen. Only one reality, only one element that can be object which be seen, and it's now, just that. So one learns to understand about thinking, which is different from seeing. When there's no seeing, no hearing, there can be thinking. Mm. And what conditions such thinking? If without memory of the past experiences, can there be thinking of such and such things or situations? Mm. And one cannot control because one would like to have wholesome thinking. But without conditions, it cannot be wholesome. It has to be unwholesome. Taking story out of whatever appears with ignorance. Actually, that which appears has fallen away completely many, many moments ago. What appears in the morning cannot come again because no conditions for its arising. Whatever arises now is the new one, always new, from moment to moment. And this is like very temporary. No matter it's understanding or attachment or aversion, it's conditioned. They are conditioned and then no more. And next life, see, different being, different person, another person suddenly, but pass on whatever is accumulated in this life to the next life. Mm. That's why people have different character by accumulation, different like or dislike. Even like or dislike is conditioned. For example, someone likes red, someone likes blue, someone likes black. By conditions, being attached to such color, on and on, it conditions the citta to crave or desire to experience it again. No matter it's car or house or anything, red is favorite color. See, everything, each move is conditioned. No one, because of ignorance, one thing that I see. But the I cannot be self because it's gone. So the self is gone, no self at all. In any reality which arises and falls away instantly, all the time. That's why there is moment of birth and moment of death. But before a moment of, and between birth and death, what are they? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, in another sense, eat and sleep, wake up and eat again and sleep and attached. That's all in one's life. But when there is some understanding, it can be kept and passed on to other moments. Like a child can be very skillful in some way because of the previous accumulation of previous lives. So there will be more compassion to all beings because exactly the same. Because by the shape and form, one takes reality for something. But in reality, seeing cannot be Buddha, cannot be snake, cannot be human being. Because with our shape and form, seeing is a reality which can experience visible object. That's all. But there's many ideas about different things by shape and form, which is the succession of the arising and falling away of realities. no one can stop conditions.
No.
At all, yeah. But by understanding, one can have more wholesome moments because everyone is exactly the same, just wanting to have pleasant feeling. Mm. And feeling is very important. Why do we have to have this or that for pleasant feeling? That's all. That's why when we come across the term upadana khanda, very attached to rupa, which appears through eyes, ears, nose, tongue and body, and vedana, feeling, because so important. If there is no feeling, nothing is important. And it cannot help having thinking because of memory, because it marks and remember whatever appears. So it conditions idea and things all the time without knowing that it's from that which marks or remember. That's why there are vipalasa, sanya vipalasa. What do you call that?
Aversion.
Yeah.
These terms, things don't want me.
Yeah. I have to leave now.
Thank you very much.